It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill. How are we?
Hi, Howard. How are you? I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. We're going to talk about what protection your bank savings have. Uh-huh. Now, I suppose when you've worked hard all your life, you've built up those savings, and then you have to understand what level of protection you'd expect if there's some sort of problem with a financial institution involved, and would you get your money back or how much? And so can we look today at bank deposit guarantees? So what are they and how do they protect our savings?
Yeah, I think most people are aware of the risks that occurred back in 2008. You know, Lehman Brothers went belly up. A number of smaller banks went belly up, and there was a significant risk to the capital of value of a large number of the larger banks who were on the border. You know, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of Scotland. You know, they all were the custodians of client cash deposits, and very nearly disappeared from existence. And the truth is that since that time, well, at that time there was a degree of protection, but if you haven't got any money, I don't know how they're going to be able to pay you out. But the truth is now a much more solid depositor guarantee scheme. Now, you know, when you've worked hard all your life to build up your savings, it's important really to understand what level of protection you're likely to receive in the event that the financial institution you've given your money to is unable to repay you. Now, you know, I think it's essential to understand that the rules are different in different places. You need to understand which bank you're with and how that bank is going to protect your money, and the same applies to perhaps capital you've got in other financial institutions like investment firms, like insurance companies, in the event of the institution failing. And if you've got concerns about the level of protection, you really need to establish if there are other methods, other institutions or other investment structures which can offer you the highest level of protection, up to 100% in some cases, or if there are any other steps you can take which allow the deposits and other investments you've got to be perhaps safer and protected from institutional failure.
So Bill, can we look at the UK first? How much of your savings with UK banks are protected?
Well, I ask clients this question frequently, and it's amazing how limited people's understanding is. In the UK, accounts in regulated banks, they're protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, and the amount protected under current EU law, whilst the UK is still a member of the EU, the amount protected by the FSC scheme is the same as the EU, and with effect from the 30th of January this year, that has been increased to 85,000 per depositor. It was reduced a couple of years ago, and it's gone back up from 75,000 to 85,000 because the value of the pound versus the euro has fallen. And so, you know, if you've got £1 million in a bank or a banking group, more accurately, only a very modest part of that cash in the bank is actually subject to compensation in the event of institutional failure.
Okay, so what are the key points that savers need to be aware of regarding this deposit guarantee?
Well, as I said, the UK guarantee has to be the same value. Obviously, the euro and sterling are different currencies, and so sterling moves its protection to the same level as the euro based on the exchange rate. And the protection is per depositor, so accounts in joint names are protected up to 170,000 in the UK per banking institution. Now, this is where most people slip up, and people think that because they've got deposits, for example, and I mean no criticism of these institutions, I'm using it as an example, an institution just isn't the same as a bank. The Halifax and the Bank of Scotland, for example, are the same institution. So if you think that you've spread your assets by having a deposit in the Building Society, the Halifax Building Society, and you put other deposits in the Bank of Scotland and think that you've got two institutions, you haven't, you've got one. And your assets that you've spread between those two deposit facilities are still going to be limited to the maximum compensation. The problem with the compensation schemes is essentially the length of time it takes to process any claim that there is, and that does depend on a number of factors, and some of which are outside of the financial services compensation scheme's control, but it says under the scheme that they intend, or their objective is, to pay compensation within 7 days of a bank or building society or a credit union failing. I can't for the life of me see how they could ever meet that target, but that is their stated target. They claim that any remaining claims which are likely to be more complex could be paid within 20 working days. I find that almost impossible to believe, but that's what they say. Now, since July 2015, the Financial Service Compensation Scheme provides a 1 million protection limit for temporary high balances. Now, that means that if you're, for example, selling your property and buying another one, and you've moved your money from the property sale pending investing it in the next property for the short term to a bank, a client account bank with your solicitor, and that institution should fail, then the limit of protection goes up to 1 million for a temporary high balance. Now, quite how that would be paid in the event of a collapse, I don't know. But that's an extension, if you like, to the protection that people have with the banks.
Interesting. So, for here in Spain, Bill, is the limit similar to the UK and the system?
Well, under an EU directive, every EU country provides a bank deposit guarantee of €100,000, which is why at the moment the UK guarantee scheme is at £85,000. That reflects more or less current interest, current exchange rates. Now, in the event a bank fails, the National Deposit Guarantee Scheme in Spain, it's the Fondo de Garantía de Depósitos, they will refund your savings up to the limit of €100,000. And in France, La Garantie de Dépôt is the place that offers the guarantee. Savings above the €100,000 would be lost if your bank fails. So you could receive additional funds in excess of the €100,000, but that would be following a distribution of the assets of the bank as part of any insolvency process. But I suspect that that would be a very limited amount of additional the disposal of credit to you. Deposits are covered per depositor, so couples with joint accounts have in Spain a €200,000 protection, and again the guarantee is per banking group, not per bank account or even per bank. Some banks with different names form part of the same banking group, so you need to be careful that you have spread your money in the hope of getting additional protection, but could be undone if the banks you put it with are all part of the same banking group. That is particularly true in Spain.
Yeah, indeed. Many British expatriates living here in Spain keep sterling savings in UK offshore centres. So do the banks, for example, in the Isle of Man or the Channel Islands, provide the same protection as banks in the UK?
Yeah, they keep sterling. Very often UK expatriates do have accounts in the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man. However, these aren't covered by the UK scheme, even if they are a division of UK banks. Instead, you have to rely on the local offshore islands guarantee schemes, which unfortunately offer lower levels of protection. I mean, the depository compensation schemes, which exist in both Jersey and Guernsey, they provide protection up to £50,000 per person per local banking group. Once again, they aim to pay compensation in this case within 3 months, which seems more realistic in the event of a failure. But the maximum liability, unfortunately, is capped at £100 million in any 5-year period, and that is in total, not per bank. So if a compensation scheme of one of those islands is called upon because of a run on the banks in, let's say, Jersey or even Guernsey, and in each of those islands, in one of those islands, there is in excess of £100 million of compensation to be paid in any 5-year period, I'm afraid your £50,000 may end up being rather less than that. The Isle of Man, that does provide compensation of up to £50,000 per depositor for the banks that are covered. They're not all covered. You need to check that out with your bank. There isn't a time limit in the Isle of Man for the payment of the compensation, But the amount that they will pay in the Isle of Man and the timing of any compensation will be dependent upon the size of the failed bank and the amount of funding contributed. So the scheme does, however, to make interim payments after 28 days, because obviously it's important if people have all their cash in a particular bank and it fails, they can't be waiting 6 months for their money and you know, need to buy the shopping before that. So there are interim payment possibilities coming out of the Isle of Man scheme.
Okay, so what could people do to achieve higher protection for their savings and investment capital?
Well, I think a lot of savers over the last 10 years, me included, have spread their deposits in banks over more than one bank. It does result, unfortunately, in a lot more paperwork, especially with anti-money laundering and know your client regulations these days. But nonetheless, if you're going to keep cash on deposit in excess of the guaranteed amount per institution or per banking group, then I think the extra paperwork is worth it. But for the vast majority of, if you like, a little more sophisticated investor, is to move your investment capital and even your cash deposits into arrangements which provide an intrinsically higher level of investor protection than the banks can offer. And one of the key areas, certainly as far as Blevins Franks is concerned, is it's if you hold your cash and your other assets within an investment bond issued by a Luxembourg regulated entity, a life insurance company, for example, then your investment assets are protected in total should the insurance company fail. It works from what is commonly known as a triangle of security, where you take your assets and place them within the framework of a Luxembourg investment bond, but in fact the assets of that bond are actually held by a custodian bank, okay, which is appointed as the custodian to the insurance company, not by the insurance company, because that would be to some extent a conflict. There may be compromises between them, but the custodian bank is appointed by the Luxembourg government through the Commissariat aux Assurances. And so what you have here is a tax planning structure within which your assets are nominally technically held, but they are actually off balance sheet in the ownership of the custodian bank, which has been appointed by the Luxembourg government through its investor protection arrangements. And indeed, in the event of the failure of the custodian bank, you're protected by the Commissariat aux Assurances and the Luxembourg investor protection scheme. You can get effectively 100% protection of your cash deposits and your investment capital by using this technique, this device. And it's something that Blevins Franks have been doing for many years to ensure not only for investor protection, but because it also brings to the forefront of your investment planning massive tax advantages. It can eliminate and reduce significantly your income tax. It can eliminate entirely capital gains tax. It can make it much cheaper for you to trade your investments. It can take you outside of inheritance tax or succession tax in the right circumstances. So we tend to use a Luxembourg life insurance bond for a whole host of reasons, not least of all investor protection.
So do these arrangements, Bill, provide any other benefits in Spain?
Yeah, I think, as I was saying, just on the margins of that explanation as to investor protection, that in addition to the bond providing you with a massively higher degree of investor protection, they also provide tax benefits for residents of Spain. You know, in any case, you know, if you're going to have a portfolio of diversified assets, you need to be holding those assets perhaps in some structure or other, and trusts have a part to play, but their usage has been much reduced over recent years. I think most people understand that. Whereas the legitimate and well-established framework of investment bonds, which is a massive part of the personal savings industry across the whole of Europe, means that you can invest your assets in a Luxembourg-based bond, get a massively increased level of investor protection, and at the same time, the nature of the structure attracts a much more favourable tax regime than would otherwise be the case. And I think that, you know, arranging your savings and investment decisions needs to be based around your personal objectives, your circumstances, your time horizon, as we've spoken about, your risk profile. And if you can talk to an independent financial advisor about how to protect your wealth, then you can find out also at the same time perhaps of how you can optimize your returns by mitigating the levels of tax on any profits that you should make.
Amber Evans Franks is a good place to start.
Yep, he would say that, wouldn't he? But the truth is, I think you could do a lot worse than look at the website, www.blevinsfranks.com. And if you feel that you could protect your wealth more effectively, if you feel that you could reduce your taxes more effectively, then you ought to make contact with the Blevins Franks office close to where you live. And I'm sure they'll be pleased to hear from you and give you proper advice to take you where you think you want to go.
Many thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.